Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
Under President Trump's leadership, we are looking to set a goal of a minimum of 3,000 arrests for ICE every day. And President Trump is going to keep pushing to get that number up higher.
As the Trump administration threatens to dramatically expand its targeting of immigrants, we'll look at how communities are pushing back. From Milford, Massachusetts, where ICE agents detained a high school honor student on his way to volleyball practice, to San Diego, where ICE agents tossed flashbang grenades at a crowd gathered to protest an armed ICE raid at a popular local restaurant. We'll go to San Diego for the latest, then speak with Silky Shaw of Detention Watch.
Right now, so many more immigrants, undocumented immigrants, legal permanent residents, so many more people are being caught up into the system, being detained in horrible conditions. And this government is trying to grow the number of detention beds and grow the deportation system through a really scary and damaging reconciliation bill.
Plus, we'll talk to a reporter at Wired Magazine about how Palantir is helping DOGE build a master database to surveil and track immigrants. But first, the Supreme Court rules the Trump administration can strip deportation protections for 500,000 people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In the Gaza Strip, witnesses say Israeli forces again opened fire on a crowd of Palestinians this morning as they gathered at a humanitarian aid site in the southern city of Rafah, killing at least 27 people, wounding more than 90 others. Witnesses described a chaotic scene as Palestinian families moved toward a distribution site operated by the U.S.-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation and suddenly came under attack by Israeli soldiers and quadcopter drones. Most of the wounded were reportedly struck in the head and chest.
Hunger killed us. Hunger slaughtered us. O world, have mercy on us. O world, have mercy on us. For the sake of elderly women, for the sake of the widows, for the sake of the children, we are all hungry. We are all dying of hunger, dying of hunger. The children cry, the women cry, the widows cry. No one has mercy on anyone. We are all hungry. We are all hungry, dying of hunger. We walk like skeletons on the ground, skeletons on the ground. Our children died of hunger.
The massacre follows a separate assault Sunday when Israeli troops killed at least 31 people, also at a U.S.-backed aid distribution center, injuring over 170 others. U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres condemned Sunday's massacre, called for an immediate and independent investigation. The Israeli military denies they were the ones that opened fire. Separately, The Guardian reports recent deadly airstrikes by Israel on schools sheltering displaced people in Gaza were part of a deliberate Israeli strategy that saw military planners loosen limits on strikes on places where large numbers of civilians are present. Israel's attacked six schools in recent months, killing over 120 people. Meanwhile, the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, reports the number of Gaza's children killed or injured by Israel since October 2023 has surpassed 50,000. In a statement, UNICEF wrote, quote, "How many more dead girls and boys will it take? What level of horror must be live-streamed before the international community fully steps up, uses its influence, and takes bold, decisive action to force the end of this ruthless killing of children," UNICEF wrote. Officials in the occupied West Bank say Israeli forces have arrested at least 9 Palestinians following raids in Jenin, in Hebron, Ramallah, and Bethlehem. The arrests follow Monday's killing of 14-year-old Palestinian boy Yusuf Fuad Abdul Karim Fokaha, who was shot dead by Israeli soldiers in the town of Sinjil, north of Ramallah. Israel's military later said the boy had been throwing stones and bottles, something witnesses refuted. This comes as the UN's Humanitarian Affairs Office, OCHA, reports Israeli settler attacks on Palestinian communities in the West Bank are at their highest rate in at least 20 years, with an average of 44 Palestinians injured each month in settler attacks. In Massachusetts, protests are continuing in response to the arrest of a Brazilian high school honors student named Marcelo Gomes da Silva, while he was on his way to volleyball practice over the weekend. Students at his high school in the Boston suburb of Milford staged a walkout, many wearing their graduation gowns, joining a series of other demonstrations across town in recent days demanding Marcelo's release. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has acknowledged the teen was not the target of the arrest operation, but was still taken into custody. He's lived in the U.S. since 2012. This is Boston ICE official Patricia Hyde.
In regard to Marcelo Gomes, he remains in ICE custody. He was not the target of the investigation, but like we have repeatedly said, sanctuary policies put us in a position to go out into communities and look for people.
A federal judge Monday ordered the Trump administration to provide the court at least 48 hours notice before the teen is transferred out of Massachusetts. The ICE arrest of another high school student here in New York has also sparked widespread outrage. Attorneys representing the 20-year-old Venezuelan asylum seeker identified as Dylan have filed a habeas corpus petition in a federal court in Pennsylvania where Dylan is currently detained, urging his release over due process violations. Dylan lives in the Bronx with his mother and two younger siblings. In related news, protesters took to the streets of at least 40 cities nationwide over the weekend, calling for a boycott of Avelo Airlines over the company's contract with ICE to operate deportation flights. The protest came as the Arizona Mirror reported the Boeing 737 used by Vice President J.D. Vance's campaign has been chartered more than a dozen times this year by the Trump administration to deport immigrants to Guatemala and El Salvador. In more immigration news, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott is expected to sign into law a bill that would require most state sheriffs to collaborate with ICE in arresting and detaining immigrants. The Republican-controlled Texas legislature approved the bill last week. Meanwhile, in Tucson, Arizona, witnesses say ICE agents falsely claimed to be utility workers for Tucson Electric Power as they attempted to ambush and detain an immigrant from Honduras. The man avoided arrest after his neighbor intervened. On Capitol Hill, the U.S. Senate's taking up President Trump's sweeping budget this week. The bill, which just squeaked through the Republican-led House last month, seeks to make permanent Trump's 2017 tax giveaways for the wealthy while gutting essential social programs, including Medicaid and food assistance. Some Republican senators are calling for even steeper spending cuts in the bill and have opposed its impact on the national debt. Meanwhile, Democrats could call on the Senate parliamentarian to rule against key measures of the package, including the longer-term impact on the deficit. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer also said Democrats would challenge a provision that would limit judges from enforcing contempt citations. On Monday, Bishop William Barber and other activists were arrested in the Capitol Rotunda as they held a prayer demonstration against the budget. Barber and his group repairers of the breach also held a rally outside the Capitol to condemn the spending cuts, which threatened to strip Medicaid coverage from 14 million people. This is disability rights activist Sloan Meek.
The way I move around in the world, the way I communicate, the people who helped me do all the things I want for my life. It is all supported by Medicaid. Proposing to cut Medicaid is a death threat to me and my friends with disabilities. Without Medicaid support in my home and my community, I will be forced into a nursing home to spend the rest of my life in a hospital bed until I die.
The Trump administration's moving to strip federal protections from millions of acres of Alaska's pristine wilderness to allow oil drilling and mining in one of the nation's last untouched regions. While touring an oil field near the Arctic Ocean, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, and EPA head Lee Zeldin praised Trump's push to expand oil and gas drilling, mining, and logging in Alaska, which has long drawn condemnation from indigenous communities and environmentalists. The move reverses a Biden-era measure that restricted future oil and gas leasing on portions of the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. The government of the Netherlands has collapsed after Geert Wilders withdrew his far-right Party for Freedom from the ruling coalition over other parties' refusal to back Wilders' quote, strictest asylum policy ever, unquote. Wilders' plan proposed halting the asylum process and pausing the reunification of families whose members have been granted refugee status. Opposition parties are calling for fresh elections. Meanwhile, Poland's liberal prime minister, Donald Tusk, announced lawmakers will hold a confidence vote on his government June 11th after the nationalist candidate, Karol Nawrocki, won Poland's presidential election on Sunday. In Colorado, authorities have charged the suspect in Sunday's attack on Boulder protests for Israeli hostages with a federal hate crime and 16 counts of attempted murder. The attack, believed to be carried out with a makeshift flamethrower and incendiary devices, injured 12 people. The State Department spokesperson under former President Biden has admitted he believes Israel committed war crimes in Gaza. Matt Miller's reversal comes after he spent over a year as the face of the Biden administration's foreign policy, repeatedly defending Israel against allegations of war crimes and genocide. This was Miller speaking in April of last year.
We have been very clear that we want to see Israel do everything it can to minimize civilian casualties. We have made clear that they need to operate at all times in full compliance with international humanitarian law. At the same time, we are committed to Israel's right to self-defense.
But during an interview that aired Monday on Sky News, Matt Miller now says he believes Israel's committed war crimes in Gaza and that Israeli soldiers are not being held accountable.
I don't think it's a genocide, but I think I think it is without a doubt true that Israel has committed war crimes.
You wouldn't have said that at the podium.
Yeah, look, because when you're at the podium, you're not expressing your personal opinion. You're expressing the conclusions of the United States government.
The Guardian reports the Department of Veterans Affairs is ordering staff scientists not to publish in medical journals without first receiving official clearance. The agency sent an email last week following the publication of an article by two VA pulmonologists in the New England Journal of Medicine. Their opinion piece warned that the Trump administration's mass cancellation of contracts and planned staff reduction of 80,000 Veterans Administration employees is putting the health of a million veterans at risk, including those seeking treatment for toxic exposure. The Supreme Court Monday declined to take up challenges to two state laws regulating guns, leaving in place Maryland's assault weapons ban and Rhode Island's 10-round magazine limit. It takes four justices to agree to hear a case. Three of the court's six far-right justices, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and Neil Gorsuch, dissented from both decisions. Justice Brett Kavanaugh indicated the question of assault weapons is poised to return to the court's docket soon, but said lower courts should first be given more time to rule on the issue. And here in New York, a vigil was held Monday in solidarity with Leila Swaif, who's been hospitalized in London after 8 months on hunger strike to demand the release of her son, Egyptian-British activist Ala Abdel Fattah. This is Farida El-Hefni at yesterday's vigil.
This is not just about one prisoner. This is about the brutal machinery of Sisi's regime. Egypt's prisons are bloated with over 80,000 prisoners, and those are just the numbers that we are aware of that don't include even the forcibly disappeared. So Leila Swaif, in her fight, is not just fighting for her son's life, but for all the political detainees in Egypt's prisons who we only hope could be free one day.
Professor Leila Swaif has vowed to continue her hunger strike despite doctors warning her blood sugars dropped so dramatically she's now at risk of sudden death. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
The Trump administration is vowing to escalate its targeting of immigrants. White House advisor Stephen Miller is pushing for ICE to make 3,000 arrests a day. He outlined the plan on Fox News last week.
Under President Trump's leadership, we are looking to set a goal of a minimum of 3,000 arrests for ICE every day. And President Trump is going to keep pushing to get that number up higher each and every single day so we can get all of the Biden illegals that were flooded into our country for 4 years out of our country.
We'll spend the hour looking in detail at the Trump administration's plans to target immigrants. On Friday, the Supreme Court ruled the Trump administration could strip the legal status and work permits for 500,000 people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela who had been granted protection by the Biden administration under the humanitarian parole process. The Supreme Court's ruling is only temporary as lower courts consider the legality of Trump's move. Justices Ketanji Brown Jackson and Sonia Sotomayor dissented. Justice Jackson wrote, quote, "The court has now apparently determined that it's in the public's interest to have the lives of 500,000 migrants unravel all around us before the courts decide their legal claims," she said. We begin today's show with Gerline Joseph, co-founder and executive director of Haitian Bridge Alliance, joining us from Laguna Beach, California. Gerline, welcome back to Democracy Now! Can you explain the significance— It's great to have you with us. Explain the significance of what the Supreme Court ruled.
Good morning, Amy. The Supreme Court rules on Friday literally have unraveled the entire community of over 500,000 people from Venezuela, from Cuba, from Haiti, and from Nicaragua. And we have seen complete panic, terror, chaos, trauma throughout the United States. It is the biggest mass delegation in modern history of people who followed every single rule that the U.S. government asked of them to come here, quote unquote, legally. And overnight, the rug has been literally pulled under them, rendered them undocumented, and prioritizing for expedite removal deportation. And this has been a nightmare. I cannot explain to you the level of fear that exists within the community. Children are afraid to go to school, parents unable to leave their homes to go to work, to go to the hospital. The level of trauma and terror and fear that we are experiencing cannot be explained.
And, Gerline, the Biden administration had also extended humanitarian parole to tens of thousands of Ukrainians and Afghans as well. Yet the Trump administration is not moving to deal with those humanitarian parole recipients. What's your sense of, at the same time, the Trump administration admitting white South Africans into the United States as refugees?
Thank you, Juan. I think one thing that I have always said, and I felt like John the Baptist in the desert, screaming that we do not have an immigration issue in the United States. Because when the government wants to bring certain group of people, they find a way to do so. We have a system that is anti-black, anti-brown, and anti-anyone who does not fall in line with what they want to do. As a plaintiff of the humanitarian poll that includes CHNV, that includes U4U for the Ukrainians, that include the Afghan, our Afghan neighbors and family unification, the Haitian Bridge Alliance is a plaintiff on the case for all humanitarian parolees, not just the Haitians and the Cubans, for all of us. So we are really looking into how we are going to move forward and how this will impact these other communities that we are fighting for and we're continuing to push on their behalf. We are clearly seeing that the President of the United States bringing in quote-unquote farmers from South Africa, welcoming them. We just received the second group of people, right? Yet we are seeing the people who have been in this country have followed every single law, every single rule to come here. And now they will be criminalized. They will be, their lives will be destroyed. And we do not know how they are going to be able to move forward. This cannot be the norm of the United States. That is why we are calling on non-immigrants, people who do not have current immigration status, to stand on behalf of the 500 plus thousand people whose lives have been put at risk. We already started seeing deportation, the deportation machine in full effect. Yesterday, we had people being arrested coming out of court in Santa Ana, California. This morning, I woke up to a text telling me that a mother who just gave birth went to court with her husband. The husband got detained in Los Angeles. We are seeing our community members being detained as they are following the law, going to court and then get kidnapped, detained, and arrested by ICE. This cannot continue to be how we as a country are treating people who are here in search of safety and protection, who are our neighbors, our friends, our church families, and we are literally destroying lives instead of giving them the opportunity to continue to live their lives here with dignity and compassion. And those people have come here. Again, the CHNV parolees have followed every single law. So we clearly see that this is not about illegal or legal immigrants, which is by itself an acceptable term. But we clearly see that it is about the anti-Black racism, the anti-brown and anti-other that is at the heart of everything that this administration is doing.
And, Gerlene, I wanted to ask you about an earlier group that had of asylum seekers. There were 350,000 Venezuelans under temporary protected status. The Supreme Court issued a similar order siding with Trump's attempts to revoke their status. And what about 500,000 Haitians that are also under temporary protected status? What's their situation?
Thank you so much for that. And again, a Haitian Witch Alliance is a co-counsel on the case for TPS for Venezuela and Haiti. And we are so heartbroken that the Supreme Court again sided with the Biden and with the Trump administration. And we see clearly the only reason is the fact that this was given under Biden. And they are using the lives of over 350,000 TPS holders from Venezuela and potentially 500,000 people from Haiti as political points to show how they are fighting and erasing whatever the Biden administration were able to put in place. So once again, the Supreme Court has cited to remove the protection of close to 1 million people who are here fighting, who cannot go back home, whether to Venezuela, in Haiti. Now we have complete chaos where we have close to 1 million people displaced in Haiti. So the lives of the Venezuelan TPS holders, the Haitian TPS holders, the CHNV parolees, and others are literally in the balance, and just overnight, they can be destroyed. Again, our call is for our fellow U.S. citizens to stand on behalf of justice, on behalf of compassion, dignity, and make sure that we respect the law and making sure that we provide safety and protection for those asylum seekers, the TPS holders, the CHNV parolees who followed every single law, every single word block that was put in front of them in order for them to be here seeking safety, seeking protection, seeking asylum here, legally paying their taxes that they will never be able to benefit from. Understand clearly that the TPS holders, the CHNV parolees, have been contributing to these United States, to our lives, to make sure that we continue to move forward, yet their lives are at risk in the balance, and the terror that we are experiencing right now is unbelievable.
In related news, Gerlene Joseph, the founder of the private mercenary firm Blackwater is working with Haiti's interim government, apparently. The New York Times reported that Eric Prince recently shipped a large supply of weapons to Haiti and is planning to send up to 150 mercenaries there this summer. Prince is reportedly part of a secret task force that spent the past several weeks operating drones meant to kill gang members. A Haitian human rights group blames the drones for the deaths of over 200 people. You may not be able to comment on that at this point, but I'm wondering about the number of deportation flights that have been conducted and the number of people who have been deported back to Haiti to the violence there.
Amy, to be honest, we are extremely worried at that news. I am not an expert in that field, but what I understand and I've heard is the cruelty and human rights violation that this organization and this specific person have committed around the world where they have been able to go to. And we have heard since March the drone operation that have killed hundreds of people, but none of the gang, quote-unquote, leaders who they are supposed to be fighting. And at the same time, we have heard someone mention that their goal is not really to protect the people, but to be in discussions with the gang leaders. So, again, not an expert on what that is looking like, but we are extremely concerned at the human rights violation that can arise from people who have a history of human rights violation in other part of the world and what that will mean for Haiti. And unfortunately, multiple times we are seeing the population, the civilians are the one paying the price while people in power continues to benefit from the chaos that we see in Haiti right now. So, again, we are keeping those people in prayer and really seeing how we can push the United States to stop the deportation to Haiti while they have agreed that we are in a constant state of political turmoil, but they continue to still deport people to Haiti, and currently removing the protection of over 500,000 people, including Haitians, who will be put in expedited removal deportation eventually.
Gerlene Joseph, thank you so much for being with us, co-founder and executive director of Haitian Bridge Alliance, joining us from Laguna Beach, California. Coming up, we'll stay in California, but go to San Diego, where ICE agents tossed flashbang grenades at a crowd of neighbors gathered to protest an armed ICE raid on a popular local restaurant. Stay with us. tonight, Las Cafeteras in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. We look now how protests against immigration raids and arrests are continuing around the country. In Milford, Massachusetts this weekend, students walked out of school Monday to show support for Marcelo Gomez da Silva, an 18-year-old high school honors student detained Saturday by ICE agents in three unmarked vehicles as he drove his volleyball teammates to practice at 7:45 in the morning. Marcelo was born in Brazil, had lived in the Milford area since he was 5 years old. He was also a member of the school band and was scheduled to perform the next day at